morning. I want to talk a little bit about the Christmas story, but also, I don't know, over the last few weeks, I've been reading through the Christmas story, and we've been talking about Jesus coming as a message, you know, coming as a living message from God to us. I've been thinking about how it just stood out to me how many ways that God speaks to us. And how he gets our attention, how he is so good at using everything to try and draw us to him. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I love having directions. I need help in life. I need to know sometimes, God, what do I do? Where do I go? What am I supposed to say? What do I do in this instance? And it is so nice to have his word. It's so nice to be able to hear his voice as his child. And God is not just an idea in the sky, but that I can personally know him. The one who created me, the one who gives me value, the one who gives me purpose on this earth. Amen? You guys okay? All right. I, for the very first time, smoked a brisket this weekend. And it was exciting for me because I turned on our smoker and I got up at 4:30 in the morning to check it and the fire had gone out and I was like, this is going to be terrible. I spent $50 on a piece of meat that's going to go bad, you know? And so I was frustrated. But thankfully, I had a friend in Saskatoon who does this a lot, and he's texting me, do this, try this. This is how you put the rub on. This is how you trim it properly. This is how you cook it properly. And so I got the fire going. It was 60-kilometer-hour winds. Don't worry, I didn't bother him at 4:30 in the morning. But got the smoker going again. Got through it, and of course you're waiting. It's 14 and a half hours of cooking, and you're thinking, how is this going to turn out, you know? And now, because we tried to do it in 60-kilometer-hour winds, this is my lesson, I will not do that again, the smoker went out like four times. So you'd go outside and find out the fire's gone, and you got an issue. So I kept texting my friend, being like, okay, well, it's done this, and now what? And it looks like this, okay? And so finally, you're waiting in anticipation to see, and we ate it, and it was awesome. I know I probably just made you hungry, but I really was thankful that I had someone that I could text or call. And he was sending me pictures, he was writing things, he sent me a video, he showed me what it should look like, how to even prepare it, like put a slice in it ahead of time before you put the rub on so you can see where the grain is, and all these little tips and things. And I thought, that's kind of like how God leads us and guides us through life. He gives us direction. He helps us. He gave us his word to show us how to make it day by day. And he tells us, you know, pray, Lord, today, give me my daily bread. We need to hear from him and be led by him to succeed, to make it through this life and do well. Amen? You guys okay? Everybody's just looking at, I don't know. I feel like it's very quiet this morning. Maybe it is the mask. I can't see your smiling faces. Have you ever wondered if God is talking to you? Have you ever just felt like God, you're quiet. God, where are you? Where are you in this situation? You know, sometimes God speaks really loud and really obviously, whether it's right to you or through other people or through situations that just line up and you're like, whoa. And then sometimes it's a really, really, really quiet whisper where you go, God, I can't hear you. And it's until that we learn to quiet our hearts and our minds and get our eyes off of all the stress and stuff going on, and we can actually humble ourselves and get on our, you know, in a sense, get on our knees and just listen, that we actually hear. And sometimes it takes a while. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes we have to get on our face and seek the Lord over and over and over and over a period of time, waiting and listening and going, God, what do I do? God, what are you saying in this situation? Anybody ever been there? She's not going to share it today, but my wife online shared a little testimony, and she shared the story of my ankle. And I was just thinking about that as I was sharing this. This wasn't part of my plan here, but I was just thinking of this story. You know, my ankle, for those of you who don't know, it was several years of pain, and the doctors kept saying, it's just probably this, taking Advil, whatever, and I had chronic pain and sharp pain all the time, and finally, I got into, they did different tests. They did the ultrasounds, the x-rays, the MRIs, CTs, everything, and they could never find anything. So they did a fresh set, sent me to supposedly the top foot specialist in Western Canada, in Saskatoon. And I remember going there, and I had a lot of hope, because I thought, okay, this guy is supposed to be the best, and I've had incredible pain for so long. And I get to him, and he looks at my foot, and he messes around with it, and then he kind of scratches his head, and he's got all the tests there, and he goes, I'm looking at your foot, he said, and I can see there's something really wrong. I'm looking at all this. He says, there's nothing that shows there's a problem. I can't do anything for you. He said, if it showed up on the test, I could do surgery. I could do something. And he said, there's nothing, everything. And I actually started crying right in front of him. I remember being like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, that, you know, I had my hope in you, and there's nothing. And I remember just being so desperate. And over that season, I remember this was not a short season, but for a long time, and I had different, I downloaded some different books just on healing and scriptures, like books where just a new scripture for every day on healing. And I would pray those, and I would go, God, where are you? God, what's going on? And I remember some days were easier than others. Some days I was like, I don't feel like praying this, but I would, you know, every chance I got, if somebody said, I'll pray for you, I was like, pray for my ankle, pray for my foot. And over and over and over. And it was a long time. And then, of course, Jill was 9 months pregnant. Caleb was just about to be born. And I got up off the couch one night to get a drink before going to bed. And just out of the blue, complete random thought, I'm going to heal you before your boy is born. And I just was like, what? I was like, okay, God. And 3 days later, Caleb was born. And he came really fast. He was induced, and literally from the time that Jill started feeling pain to when he was born was like 45 minutes. We had to drive across the city, and had my foot not been better, I would have never even made it. And I was able to run up to the room and be there for his birth. And it's a story that I'll never forget, that my, you know, I can give God glory that I can move my ankle around and I can jump on it and I have no pain. And I'm so thankful for that. That wasn't like an instant thing. I love the instant stuff, but I'm still thankful for those moments too, where sometimes there's a season of waiting on God and saying, God, where are you? What are you saying? And he would give me peace. He would give me strength, but there was still a season of waiting before I really heard his word and I'm going to heal you. Amen. The Christmas story is a little bit like that, in the sense that there was a lot of things going on. God had been silent in a lot of ways in Israel for about 400 years. There had not been a lot of prophetic words, or, you know, and yet in this season when Jesus comes, there's an explosion of the supernatural. There's an explosion of him speaking through angels, through visions, through dreams, through people, and of course through Jesus. God sent his son as a living message so that we couldn't miss it. I know a little while ago I was praying about some decisions and just saying, God, what do I do? And He didn't answer me the way I wanted. He didn't say, do this and this. He said, I'm not going to let you miss it. I remember being like, what is that? But that, it's like with Jesus coming. He sent his son so that we can't miss it. He sent his son as a living message. He's given us his word. He's given us creation, that everything points to Jesus, that there is hope, that there is an answer, that there is salvation in him. And he's given it all so that really we can't miss the sign that Jesus is alive, that there is hope in God. And if we put our hope in him, we will be saved. Amen. He's made it so that we can't miss it. It is the greatest message ever, that God literally loves us unconditionally. And there's nothing that we can do to make God love us less, and there's nothing we can do to make him love us more. He literally bankrupted heaven. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for us so that we could be saved. So if you have your Bibles, I didn't put this one up there, but you can flip to Luke chapter 1. And you know, we're just going to talk a little bit about the Christmas story this morning and how God speaks. You know, God sent Gabriel. God sent Gabriel to Mary, okay, a teenager, and said, hey, blessed, highly favored one, highly favored one. And Mary is a teenager going, what are you talking about? You know, and the angel says, hey, I have good news. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. And Mary is troubled and going, I'm not married. How is this possible? And so the angel says, the Holy Spirit is going to impregnate you with the Son of God. And you will give birth to Emmanuel, to the Savior of the world. And his name will be Jesus. And I love her response. She says, well, may it be as you say. Now, you got to think about this. It would have been really easy to say, well, I have a wedding to plan, because she was engaged. I have a lot going on. Plus, I'm a teenager. This is a little overwhelming and scary. Not to mention that by saying yes to this, she very well could have been killed. Because in that culture, if you got pregnant outside of marriage, it was a big deal. You would have been shunned by your friends. You probably would have lost a lot of friends. You've been an outcast in society. And you potentially could have been stoned to death. So this was not like a light decision. This was not like a little thing. But she said, okay. Luke 1 verse 37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Sometimes what God is calling us to do does not feel easy. In fact, often when God asks us to do something, it feels very impossible without him. Just like with Mary. But we need to be willing and not too busy and not too distracted to listen, to hear what God is calling us to do, and to be able to say yes. I believe that Jesus is God's message. He was God's message. He is God's message to us, that he is calling us to have a relationship with him. Jesus is a message of salvation and hope and restoration. A message of unconditional love for us. Jesus came to literally give us an invitation to come to have life and life abundantly, to have relationship with God. And the Bible uses the picture of adoption, that when we give our hearts to Jesus, when we surrender to him, we are adopted into God's family, which means we belong to him, that we have an inheritance in him. And the Bible says that we can actually hear his voice. I don't know about you, but I have learned to recognize when my parents call and I pick up the phone and I say hello, I recognize my parents' voice. They don't have to say, hi, this is Hans. Hi, this is Janet. Okay? When you're close to someone, you recognize their voice. Even as parents, our kids, we could recognize even the cry. I don't know if you remember that. But there was a cry that was like angry, and there was a cry that was I'm hurt, and there was a cry that they'll get over it, you know. But you could tell there were certain ones that meant drop what you're doing and go, because there's a problem. And there's other ones like, oh, they're mad. But it's because we know someone, we recognize their voice. We know, you know, when with your spouse, like my wife, she will start to say something, and by the way that she says it, she doesn't have to say much else. I know what's happened. I know she's either mad or she's happy or she's upset, or, you know, I can understand by the way that she's talking a whole lot more than what's actually coming out of her mouth. That comes from closeness. That comes from time together. So when God uses the picture of us being adopted into his family, he's saying that we have access to hear him, to know his heart. And it's so important that we do. So in Luke chapter 2, starting in, I think it's verse 8 here. There were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Okay, and shepherds were not like a highfalutin job, okay? You hung out with sheep in the field. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And so, this was a pretty clear announcement. Like, you can't miss that one. Right? Right? Okay. As long as you agree. Some of you guys are... You can't miss an angel. When an angel shows up and gives you a message, you'll know. And then when all the angels of heaven, show up and begin to sing and rejoice, all right, it's a clear message. Something's happened. We need to go check this out. We need to go and see. And I don't know, have you ever just thought about in like in today's day and age, what this would be like? You know, like the headlines, the stories, okay? So National Enquirer or, you know, CBC, whatever you want to say for news, that, you know, Entertainment Tonight, oh, star seen in the sky, must, you know, aliens, UFO, whatever, virgin gives birth, you know, imagine that for a headline, or, you know, the shepherds, the social outcasts, these rejected people getting the message and how people would look at that. And, you know, maybe that would be the ranchers today or just someone, you know, who would it be? The Taliban, the outcast, the terrorist that gets the message first. You know what I mean? And you think, how is that possible? And of course, there'd be people with their phones trying to get selfies with an angel or whatever that, however that would go, you know, you would see the headlines, the end of the world is imminent, right? Trump's fault. I don't know. God speaks to us in a lot of different ways so that we get his heart, so that we actually know what he's saying. And so he will use an angel. He'll use a dream. He'll use someone else. He'll use his word. He'll do whatever it takes so that we can get the message. You see, before even this happened, an angel appeared to John and to Elizabeth. Well, appeared to John while he was doing his priestly duties in the temple and said, you're going to have a boy and you're to name him John. And he doubted it. And he, you know, they'd been waiting for a kid and the angel came and said, you're going to have a boy and he is to prepare the way of the Lord. And so there's this announcement that even God was lining up a message before the messenger came. And so John came. Then the angel came to Mary and said, hey, you're going to have a baby. And he's going to be the Messiah. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And so we see this as God lines things up. And then, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, how Jesus came and fulfilled over 300 prophecies in his birth, his life, and his death, in the way that it all happened. God perfectly line things up. So in this season, Caesar Augustus calls for a census at just the right time when Mary happens to be 9 months pregnant. And if you look on the map, it's like from here to Medicine Hat, basically. 100-ish kilometers that they had to go on a donkey. And they say the census was likely due to registering people for taxes. So people were probably grumpy. Maybe it was the first carbon tax. I don't know. But they, you know, they were probably not happy to be gathering. And then you have Mary, who I know wouldn't have been happy to make this trip because she was 9 months pregnant, going 100 kilometers on the back of a donkey. Probably not a good time for either her or Joseph. And yet God knew exactly how to line it up so that, because there was a prophetic word that said that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. Back then you didn't just get in your car and drive to Medicine Hat because you literally had to walk or ride a donkey or a horse to get there. So even though they were only 100 kilometers away, it was a big deal to actually have that happen. But God knew exactly at the right time to line things up so she would be there and give birth to Jesus in Bethlehem. And then, of course, if you follow the whole story in the Gospel of Matthew as well, with the wise men coming and all the things that surrounded with that, you know, Joseph had a dream that they needed to leave because Herod was angry and was going to kill all the babies 2 years old and under because he was threatened by this Messiah that was coming. And so again, God uses a dream, right? And they escape and go away. And so God can use many different things to line things up in our life. He can use many different people, many different situations to speak to us so that we can hear him. You guys okay? After Jesus is born, they go to dedicate him. And we see the prophetic the prophetic in action in Simeon. Simeon is an old man, the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit had told Simeon that he would live until he saw the Messiah. And Simeon says this: I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. And Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Again, God uses the prophetic to declare what is coming. And even speak the identity of who Jesus was. And God does that through us to other people too. Did you know that? That's why gifts like the prophetic are so important. That we call out the gold. That we call out and declare the identity that God has given others. Amen? So I just want to run through a few things in this story that that God does. He uses angels to speak to us, all right? Just like he spoke to the shepherds, God does use angels today. I've never seen an angel, but he still uses angels today, all right? They are the messengers of heaven. It is interesting that they say, and I don't know if this is 100% for sure, but some scholars say that likely the shepherds in that field with those sheep, those were likely the sheep used as sacrificial lambs as part of the worship system at the time. And so it's interesting that the angels came to declare, you know, it's just interesting symbolism that angels would have come to declare that the Lamb of all lambs, Jesus, the Lamb of God, is coming to be sacrificed for all, and came to the shepherds taking care of the sheep that were sacrificed at the time for sin. There's dreams like Joseph, right? Joseph had many dreams. He had a dream when he was thinking about divorcing Mary, because he finds out his teenage fiance is pregnant, you know, and the Bible says that Joseph was a good man, but he was still thinking about leaving her. And of course he has a dream, no, God's in this, and stick with her. He has a dream again when they return out of Egypt, coming back to Israel after Herod is dead. They find out that Herod's son is on the throne, and again he has a dream and is warned, don't go where you're going, and they end up moving to Nazareth. Amazing how that can work, how God uses a dream to direct their path. And again, it's because there's a prophetic word that he would come out of Nazareth, he'd be a Nazarene. That would have never happened without that dream. God can speak to you to direct your life through things like that too. Have you ever noticed God speaking to you through dreams? I'll be honest, there's been times where I've had very noticeable dreams that are like, they shake me. Like I wake up and I'm like, that is definitely from God. But I really struggle with, God, what in the world does it mean? I don't always know. But what I do, I'm really thankful for, is there's people I do know that are very good at interpreting dreams. And I phone and I pray with them and we work together and be like, God, what is this? What are you saying? And that's my dad. He wants in. God uses nature. He used a star in the sky to guide wise men, to draw attention to people that were not Jews, that the Messiah is here. And they came to worship. I don't know about you, but I connect with God. One of the best ways is just get outside and get away from everything. I love when I'm out for a hike or on a quad or hunting or something. And I'm just, have you ever been skiing at the top of a mountain and just had a look around, like at Fernie or Sunshine or Lake Louise, many of those places, when you're at the top of some of those mountains, you just look around and you just go, wow. And it, I mean, you can't help but see the creativity. Like Jeff is really good at painting, but God is way better. You know, at just painting the land. I mean, it's incredible. You think about the creativity that God has and the power and the ability that he has to speak to us. And I find that God can speak, he can bring peace when I'm out in nature. And it reminds me of just how amazing he is. God uses worship. God can use the government. We might not like the government. We might not like the government. All the political craziness that's been happening both south of us and in our country over the last year. But you know that God can still use that? We might not like it. We might not agree with lots of things. I can guarantee you that when the census was happening and they were getting registered to pay more taxes, they were not happy, but God was using it. God speaks to us through his word. This is a roadmap. The reason I was able to cook a successful brisket was because I had a friend, I had someone I could contact. This helps us every day. This is a guidelines of God's promises and his truth. It reveals who he is, and we need it every day. It's not just suggestions. It's not just good ideas. This is our hope. This is our living bread. And we need it. I don't know about you. When was the last time you opened the Bible and you've maybe read a verse 1,000 times before and you're struggling with something and you read that verse and it just, it's like it's shining with bright lights and going bang, bang, bang. It's like, that just spoke to me like never before. Have you ever had that happen? Okay? And the reason is that God's Word plus the Holy Spirit speaking truth into that situation brings life. And we need that. It's, you can memorize this over and over and over again, and if we don't have his presence, we're not hearing from God in the moment, it will never impact us the same. We need to connect with God, and it's in those moments in his presence that he speaks to us, that his word comes alive, and it changes us, and it guides us, and it directs us, and it rebukes us, and it disciplines us and corrects us, but it helps us come to a real relationship with God. It also shows, I really believe that his word backs up the validity of what he's saying. I mean, you look in the Old Testament and all of it points to Jesus and all the prophetic words that were fulfilled and the New Testament showing us that he is coming again and what we're called to be, his church, his bride. And of course, he speaks to us through Jesus. Jesus is the Christ child, the Word becoming flesh. The beginning of the book of John reveals the Word was with God, the Word was God. The opening of the book of Hebrews reveals that although God speaks in many times and in many ways, his ultimate word to us is a person, Jesus. The angels told the shepherds, "This shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby." He is a sign to us. He is a sign to the world today. People reject him, people accept him, people are offended by him, people fall in love with him, but he is a sign. And he points us to the Father. And we should all do like John chapter 2, verse 5, like his mom said. Go and do whatever he says to do. Whatever he says, do it. That's part of the story where he turns water into wine. Just do whatever he tells you. So I want to ask you this question this morning because this is just what I felt we were supposed to do. What is he saying to you? He might speak to you through an angel. He might speak to you through a dream. He might speak to you through a prophetic word. He might use nature. He might use his word. He might use times of worship. He might use the government. He might use other things out of our control to get our attention, to line things up perfectly so that we're in the right place at the right time. God can do that. And he does do that in our life because he loves us, because he cares for us. God speaks to us through Jesus and his life as a living example for us. What I can guarantee you is that God is speaking. Are we listening? Are we hearing him today? Are you hearing his heart for you and for your family and for your future right now? What is he saying about this time with the pandemic? What does that mean? Lord, what are you doing in this? Those are the kind of questions we can ask. God, what are you saying? What is going on? And Lord, how do I be a light in the midst of a pandemic? Well, then we need to listen. Jesus, how does our church love Maple Creek well in the middle of this crazy chaos? How do we bring peace, God, when there's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety? And then personally, you need to ask those questions. God, what do you want me to do today? Lord, today is the day that you have made, so I will rejoice in it. I will be glad. Jesus, what do you want me to do today? To be a light, to be a witness, to be a friend, to be a good husband or a good wife or a good father, good mother. What do I do? God, what are you saying about me today? What are your thoughts towards me? You know, when you paint a painting or you write a song or you create something with your hands, you build a house, you do something that you've worked at. I mean, even that silly thing like the brisket this weekend. When you pour into something, you have something to say. It's like when you create something, you build something, you have thoughts about it. And even like a painting or, you know, for me, I love when I can hang it. I know some of you won't like this, but when you can hang a deer head on the wall. And you can look back 10 years later and go, I remember that time. I remember the fun, the adrenaline rush, whatever it might be. When you create something, I look back at, you know, even the odd song that I've written and look back and go, I remember, I still feel this, I think this about it. You know that God is, I mean, that's, and that pales in comparison to us. But it's just an example of when you pour your heart and soul into something, you have emotion, you have feeling, you have intentionality about it. Well, God is the same with us. And He, your entire life has been thinking about you and has been saying things over your life. So what is He saying today? What is He saying about tomorrow? Are you guys with me? I want to end with this, and I just want to take a few minutes to pray. But I just really want to encourage you and challenge you that don't disconnect from God in this season. Don't like, we can get so busy and so with the extra stress and anxiety of everything else going on that we can really miss hearing from God. It's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy to be busy. It's so easy to be stressed or just focused on other stuff. And you know, sometimes God does use an angel and He really interrupts us. But sometimes we go along missing Him because He's speaking and He's saying, the other day I was sitting on the couch and it was a long day and I finally got home and I turned on the TV and I was lying there and all of a sudden I had this in my heart. It was almost like God was saying, I'm waiting for you. And I was like, right now? can we, like, how about tomorrow? But no, that's His call, you know, and every day we need to hear from Him. Or we can't survive. Like, if you want to survive spiritually, you need to connect every day. And whether it's in here or whether it's hearing from Him, we need it all. So let's pray. Just with every eye closed, every head bowed. How many of you right now just feel really alone? Yeah. I just want to pray. God, I pray for those that feel alone in this season. I just pray that You would come alongside them. I pray, Jesus, that You would come and be the friend that You call us, that You tell us that we are, that we are like friends to You. And I pray that we would sense Your presence with us. God, that we would sense that You are near to the brokenhearted. You're near to the lonely. God, You're close to us in this season. God, I pray, just like we sang before, that we would realize and be aware that You are for us, that You are with us, that You don't ever leave us. And God, that You would comfort us and strengthen us in this time. And I pray for those, how many would just like to be able to hear God's voice more? God, I pray that You would give us ears to be able to hear You because You are speaking. I think of all the ways, you know, when I look at my life and all the different ways that God has spoken to me. And Lord, I pray that I would have more awareness of Your voice. Lord, that I would hear You more when I read the Word. I would hear what You're saying more throughout the day, that I would see what You're doing and see what You're calling me to step into. And I pray that for everyone here, God, that we would hear what You're saying and what You're doing, that we would be a light, that we would be a witness. God, that we could love people well, that we could be an encouragement, that we could bring hope and life and joy. God, I pray that our hearts would be open to You, that we would not be distracted, we would not miss the reason for the season. And I pray, God, that we would take time to listen, to hear what You're saying. God, what does this pandemic, what does this season mean? Because seasons come and seasons go. When You're speaking in season, what about, You're using this situation, even though we might not see it, You're using the situation politically, everything that's going on. God, You are moving. You are lining things up to fall into place. So I pray, God, You'd help us know how to pray. I pray that You'd show us how to stand in the gap for our country, for our province, for our community. I pray, Lord, that You'd show us, God, how to position ourselves so that we are right where You're calling us to be, that we would walk in the destiny that You have for us. God, that we would hear Your voice and that we would speak with confidence and courage and boldness, that we would be a witness, that we would be a light, and that we would love people well. In Jesus' name, amen.